Friday, 8 April 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for tuning into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in Revelation chapter 3 and 1 Peter chapter 4. As we're looking at the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, what we are deducting from these are the blessings and the criticisms as well that the Lord passed on to these churches so that we can learn from them. We are reading here about the matter of suffering, to not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which shall try you. And it all starts out in 1 Peter chapter 4 with a comparison between the Lord Jesus Christ and ourselves. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Speak to my heart and the hearts of our listeners. Please prepare us for that which lies ahead. Lord, we can say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And Lord, thou dost know our frame. Thou dost remember that we are but dust. And Lord, you know the fears and the apprehensions and the cares that we have. And I pray that you'll use your precious word to bless our hearts today and prepare us for that which is coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Lord had such a wonderful commendation for the church at Philadelphia. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. I'm always impressed. I'm impressed as I read this scripture. These were not a strong people. They had little strength, but they had a great God. And by his grace, and by his grace, and by his grace. Well, you say, Preacher Bill, you sound like an old 78 RPM record that the needle stuck on. No, dear friend, that was all intentional. I just want you to know that they stood by the same means that we will stand if we stand, and that is by and through the grace of God. Over in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're told that suffering for a child of God is not a strange thing. Now, here in the United States of America, and I know this program goes to other countries in the world, for which we are grateful, but here in this country, we've lived a very abnormal Christian life in that we have had very little suffering for our faith. But it seems like here in post-Christian America, that has changed and is going to be changing more so. And therefore, we are warned here, or informed, I should say, in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Dear Lord, do bless us with thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Suffering for Christ will change our priorities in life, and we will become more concentrated on that which is really important. He said, just go back and look at your past, for the time past of our life. I notice that Peter includes himself in this. He said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolaters. And as I mentioned, I believe on the last broadcast, you might be able to say, I never did live that kind of life. I never was a drinker. I didn't live in lasciviousness. No, you might have lived like Saul of Tarsus. You might have been a religious person. You might have been a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But whether we were immoral or moral, we were all lost. And we all needed the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, he said, verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Boy, you know, this matter of getting, when you get saved and how things change with the old crowd. You know, you hear some people say something like this sometime. Well, dear friend, I don't know if I could live for Christ or not if I get saved. Man, I don't know what's going to happen to my friends. Well, let me assure you this. If they are the usual type of friends in an unsaved world, you're not going to have to worry about bothering them because they're going to leave you alone, dear friend. They're going to be like a bunch of roaches when you turn the light on at night. They're going to scurry away. True friends will be concerned about you. And by the grace of God, with true friends, We often have the opportunity to lead them to Christ because they are concerned about what's happened to us, and they want to know if they can have the same change of life as well. And God be praised, we have the good news that they can. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. And I'll guarantee you they'll do that, dear friend. Oh, they'll say, yeah, there's old Bill over there. He's got religion, but I'll tell you, it ain't going to last. You know, you've heard people say things like that. Or he thinks he's better than anybody else now. Or, you know, something along that line. They'll speak evil of folks when they get saved. But, dear friend, that's to be expected. They spoke evil of our Lord. But I want to tell you something else. Let me tell you this. While there are those who will speak evil of us, there are those, and sometimes in the same group that's speaking evil of us, they're really observing our lives to see whether we're real or not. And let me say this to you. When trouble comes in their life, do you know who oftentimes they're going to come to for help? They're not going to come to the same crowd they're out drinking and carousing with, living immoral lives with. They're not going to that crowd to try to get some help. If they've got a loved one that's sick, it's kind of like the centurion when his servant was sick. He didn't go to his soldiers and say, help me. No, he sent his soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted Christ to come and to help his servant. And dear friend, that's true with God's people as well. If we live for the Lord, if we're real, if we're genuine, we're not pharisaical, we're not hypocritical, if we really are godly people, when this crowd, even some of them that say despiteful and hateful things about us, when they need help, they're going to come to us and say, would you please pray for my loved one? Would you please help me with this or that? Oh, my friend, let me just give you an illustration. Some years ago, there was a nurse. There was a nurse in our hospital. Certainly would not call her name, but she just had a really bad attitude. I mean, she had a bad attitude, and you know, you'd speak to her, and she'd turn her head and wouldn't speak to you. I don't know how spiritual this was, but I decided, I don't care what she says to me. I'm going to be kind to her, and I'm going to speak to her. And I did. I'd go by, and I'd smile, and I'd say, hello, Mrs. I'd call her name, and hope you have a good day, and things like that. And you know what? One day, I got a call from her. It really surprised me. I got a call from her. And she said, preacher, she said, I need some help. She said, my children are just going through such a heartbreaking, rebellious time. She said, I was taking them to church and went through the Bible either against the window or out the window. And she said, preacher, I need some help and I need to move. And I'm wanting to move my mobile home up to New Bern. She was living in another city. And so I said, well, yes, ma'am, I'd be glad to help you. And by the grace of God, we did. What had happened, her husband had left her. The children were heartbreaking. The home was torn all to pieces. And what I had come to the conclusion, she was just being mean and distant. I didn't know this poor lady was carrying one of the greatest burdens that anybody could carry in life. Her husband had left her. Her children were just heartbroken and living in rebellion. But when she wanted some help, thank God, she contacted us. We were able to help her get a lot here in New Bern for her trailer. And I'm telling you, the whole situation changed after that. She was always so friendly and so kind. Well, dear friend, that's true in life itself, is it not? What the Bible is speaking about here, those who just simply say wicked things about us because we had come to know Christ. Well, God help us not to render evil for evil, but bless those who curse us and do good to those who despitefully use us. Well, this broadcast is targeted for the end of our broadcast week. I hope you're making plans, if at all possible, to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church. If you cannot be, you have access to the internet. Please join us at www.calbapt.org. www.calbapt.org. Just recently, a dear man from out in the Midwest picked up one of the broadcasts, called in, and one of our staff members led him to Christ. And he called back sometime later to let us know that he was still living for the Lord. What a great opportunity it is to get the gospel out. www.calbapt.org. Please join us next broadcast if you can.